Hey guys, happy YP week. Just want to give you a quick update on how YP week has been going. How was the event on Saturday? Joseph, I know you went to the event.
Yes, I went to the Healthy Kids Day that was part of the YMCA's event where they had all kinds of educational booths up and down in Menominee High School, and I ran the big slide in the gymnasium.
Did you go down the slide?
I did not go down the slide.
Give it a chance.
Give it a chance, Joe.
But there was no tear. Well, there were a few tears, but there was no broken bones and no blood. So, and no lost children that I'm
aware
of.
Job well done.
Proud of you.
Awesome. And then last night we did the art and canvas event at the Prickly Pear. Adam, I must say you had a lovely painting.
Thank you. I surprised myself because I have zero talent. I have three sisters, and they stole all the artistic talent in the family.
Mm.
But somehow that thing turned out amazing. So the people
down there gave flowers at the bottom. You know, those little special flowers.
I even got a little shout out from the instructor.
I know. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, check it out on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
We do have some awesome pictures of what turned out from it. And if you liked it and you missed it, give us a shout out and we can try to see if we can do something similar or like that in the future.
And speaking of turned out, for what? Friday, we have another event coming up. Joseph, what's going on Friday?
Friday, we have a bowling event. Very casual, more or less just a social event for all the members and anyone who's interested in being a member, or if you're just friends with one of the members, come out to Dome Lanes at 6:30, and it's just pay your own way bowling, just as a fun group. And we're going to have a little twist on it where we're going to have a fun game with some prizes, where if you bowl a strike, you get two playing cards. If you bowl a spare, you get one playing card. And then whoever has the best poker hand at the end of the game will win a prize.
Poker bowling, brought to you by the YP Club and YP Week. And last, we wanted to talk about
our next upcoming event beyond this week. So this Friday, April 27th, we have the poker bowling. Beyond that is our next event. Mark your calendars for May 19th. That is a Saturday. We will be doing the Wine and Waterfall Tour.
Wine and Waterfall Tour coming up. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you are interested in joining the events committee and would like to help participate in planning these fun events and volunteering at these fun events, our next events committee meeting is May 8th. At 515 at 2005 10th Street, which is where Farm Bureau Insurance is, and also my office, Barron Financial. So come on out to the club, and hope you guys enjoy this next segment. We're bringing on Chris and Chris, Hops and Crops, for some fun talk. Enjoy.
They just stopped.
Hey, welcome back to the AV Club.
Wow, that was fast.
Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Vince?
No. This is the AV Club. And we want to just give a shout out to our sponsors. Adam, who are our sponsors?
Well, we have Bay Area Medical Center.
Johnson Controls.
Think and Terry.
Marine Group.
PCM Credit Union.
Wapaka Foundry. And the Samuel Pressure Vessel Group. Thanks for sponsoring our club, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right, welcome back to the AV Club. We've got our first guest. No, we've got two guests.
That's plural.
Thanks, Adam.
Two guests today.
Two guests. What's today's segment called?
Today's segment?
Yeah, or what's this podcast called today?
Episode 2.
Or Hops and Crops. So, we've got two guests on our show today. We have Chris Rush and Chris Schmidt.
Where have I heard Schmidt before?
I don't know. Hey, Chris, what did you do today?
I painted.
Who gives a Schmidt? Yeah, you might have remembered Chris from our last segment. We gave him a call. Let's start off with Chris Rush. Tell us what you do for a living.
Currently, I'm a wine and spirits manager at Jack's Fresh Market. I'm in charge of buying all the craft beer for them and all the fine, unique spirits they have there.
Say craft or crap?
Well, we do sell a little bit of that too. More of it, actually.
Good designation. Yeah.
But my day job is basically peddling booze to people. and explaining it to people that care a little bit more.
Nice. That sounds like a happy job.
It's an incredibly happy job, and making people happy too. Generally, I see them come in sad and leave happy.
What are some of your favorite beers?
Favorite beers?
Yeah.
I'm definitely an IPA guy. I know that's getting kind of overdone at this point, but I'm really riding that New England IPA trend right now. Ooh. Which is the juicy, super aroma forward IPAs of the northeast part of the United States. So I've been lucky enough to have a lot of Heady Topper from the Alchemist Brewery, excuse me.
Did you say Heady Topper?
Yeah.
What is Heady Topper?
That was actually the reigning champion of beers in the world for a significant amount of years. They just lost their pedestal last year.
So Heady Topper is the brand?
No, Heady Topper is the actual beer.
The beer.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a contested beer because they tell you to drink it out of the can. They say it's best with the can, which goes in the face of kind of like etiquette of drinking beer, where they always say pour it in a glass, right?
Right. Yeah, typically you say it's always better out of a glass.
Okay, so fast forward from buying beer and drinking beer to making beer. Sure. Now it's my understanding that you're opening up a brewery?
Yeah, Three Bridge Brewing down in 13th Street. Old commercial district of Menominee.
How did that happen? How did you learn to make beer?
My formal education was developing pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
So I was in neuroscience doing that. Yeah, yeah. So it was, it went from antipsychotic drugs to antipsychotic drugs. So basically I'm doing the same thing. I just kind of took my hobby, which was, something I was doing anyways all the time, and I basically decided I wanted to go pro. So after I finished my master's, instead of going to a PhD program I was accepted to, I went off to a brewing program down in Asheville, North Carolina. And I learned how to be a master brewer, master distiller down there, and got a few gigs. And
so what school did you go to?
That was AB Tech down there. It was a technical college. They're actually known for their culinary program. And they wanted to kind of capitalize on the craft beer scene. So the guy who was running their culinary program that had the background and kind of the accolades said, let's capitalize on this. Let's get a program going that can basically ride the wave that was going on in Asheville, which was that they had become named Beer City USA for having the most breweries per capita.
Okay.
So it was kind of a smart tourism choice. And I got lucky enough to be in the first cohort. So.
Wow. So when did you finish that program?
Well, that's been about 2.5 years, pretty much as long as I've been here. Okay. I finished it up and came right back up.
Nice.
That's really exciting. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What's the most thing that you're excited about getting that going?
Excuse me?
The most part of that that excites you of getting that going?
I really like brewing beer. I'm really sick of making large messes in my house. unless you have drains built into your floors, you find yourself making a lot of messes. My other half doesn't appreciate that a lot. I just had a full hood, like range hood, very large one, suspended across our island to our countertop for the last 3 days as we brewed, suspended on concrete blocks and other things too. So that's not like her favorite thing to come home to. So,
Never is. I just heard a pretty interesting quote about being your own boss. There was this guy who was speaking to some children, and I said, what's it like being your own boss? And he said, well, the cool thing about being your own boss is that you can take a nap on your desk if you want, and you can go hunting if you want, you can go fishing if you want, but the bad thing about being your own boss is that if you're taking a nap on your desk, the boss knows. So, I don't know. Are you excited about being your own boss?
I would say, yeah. I would say I'm pretty jacked about it. I'm a big freedom guy, America, but so I like having more control over my life. So everything that I do is kind of striving towards that all the time, philosophically and also action wise. So yeah, opening my own business was kind of inevitable in the long run.
Cool. Well, we've got another business owner here, Mr. Chris Schmidt, the owner of Marinette Landscaping and Peshtigo Stone and Garden.
Welcome
to the show, buddy.
Thank you guys for having me. I was waving, but y'all couldn't see it.
It was a beautiful wave.
Yeah.
Top notch.
So what do you think? How do you like being your own boss?
I mean, for the most part, it's just enough stress to pull your hair out every day, but it's pretty cool in the long run. You know, I mean, every small business has to start somewhere, and the building phase is just ridiculous, and the learning phase never stops. But eventually you get to the point where hopefully you can have the dreams that you had when you wanted to start it.
Yeah.
Not there yet, but I'm convinced that one day I'll see them.
Well, speaking of building phases, you have a milestone at the garden coming up, right? The building?
Yeah, we're completing our building at the garden center that we started last year, and it'll be open for Mother's Day weekend. And we're going to actually have a little soft opening too with some clients and friends the week before. So we're excited about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So how did you end up in the landscaping business? Do you consider yourself in the landscaping business?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a landscape designer, I would call myself.
Not architect?
No, because you need a degree to be an architect. So architects typically study for a long time and haven't necessarily done it. And a designer probably has more on-site knowledge, you know. Does the accreditation in that situation, it's not like a science, it's more, you know. In construction, you prefer somebody who's done something than somebody who has just designed something.
So what got you started in it?
I didn't want to work in an office. That was it.
Oh.
Adam, what do you do for a living?
I work in an office.
Yeah, me too.
So I started a small company out of college, and I didn't know anything about it. So I asked anybody and everyone who would talk to me, and maybe I could buy a beer and chat about how you do things. I remember one time I watched guys building a retaining wall for 4 or 5 hours. I just saw them working on a road I was driving by. I parked my car. I happened to have a lawn chair in my car. And I sat and I watched them, because it was back then you couldn't necessarily go and get all this information on YouTube or on HGTV or whatever and learn this. You had to actually open a book.
Sure.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about kind of segue to the YP Club? Has you learned anything from anybody you've met through the YP Club? You've had any...
What do you mean specifically?
Professionally, has there anything that's helped you with your career through the YP networking?
I mean, definitely like networking for sure, and being introduced to new people, because there's a lot. Everyone, their goal is to own a house, right? Somewhere that they live, somewhere that they can call their home.
The American dream.
Yeah, and a lot of people like the outside to look really nice too. So definitely just in meeting other business owners, meeting other young professionals, it's been great to talk about what options there are. We do construction projects. We don't do maintenance. So our clients do this once every 15 or 20 years probably. So it's not like we're going to be a store where somebody comes in and comes every week or something like that.
Yeah. So we're friends. I believe we're friends, right? I know that you're a big beer drinker and you know a lot more about me. Do you have any questions for Mr. Chris over here?
Beer. So in this market, in this Twin Cities kind of area, what are you going to do to make this a little bit more unique than what exists already?
Well, I can kind of say that, like, I personally see in the market a few opportunities that I don't think I've been fully capitalized on by the craft market. A lot of people ask me what kind of beer I make, which I think is kind of like a silly question, because if you can make beer, you can make any style of beer. So it's not like, you know, as a craft brewer, you have a broad ability scope. But the thing that I think is going to really set us apart, and I think it's going to be interesting for our Twin Cities, is that I'm kind of focused on creating this micro economy, and part of that is going to be having our own domestic beer.
Cool.
So I don't want to actually distribute a lot of the crafty stuff, but I do want to distribute one beer that's more or less domestic and undercut the big guys. So you'll be able to buy a case, probably a 24-pack or a 12-pack of a a domestic style beer that'll be cheaper than Anheuser-Busch products or Miller products.
Cool.
But you can like feel good because it was like made down the street.
Sure.
It'll be cheaper too. So yeah. Like that's the other thing is there's no middlemen, there's no overhead, so it's like right to the consumer, but it won't be broadly distributed. It'll just be ours.
Locally.
Well,
that's cool.
Well, Chris, do you have any advice for Chris that as he starts a new business?
I mean, so many people along the way have told me you have to run or you have to walk before you can run, right? You can't just expand too quickly. But I think, how long have you been doing this? Like, how long have you been getting ready to open the brewery?
It's been about 2 years. I'm pretty anti-debt, so I'm like,
sure,
creeping with it.
Yeah, and as long as you have your idea set and you stick, I guess that would be my advice. Stick to the idea in which you decided that you were going to start this business, because once you do open and once the building phase is kind of over, you get caught up with all these day-to-day things and people are asking you, can you do this? Or, you know, and you might think, okay, there's this direction we want to go. And you forget why you opened the business. And so you have to sort of stay centered and look at your business plan and remember that this is, I don't know, the soul, the skeleton of where you're going. Because it's so easy with all this other stuff going around to just get waylaid and start going in a direction. And, you know, a year later, you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Like, why are we here? This is not what we started off to do, you know?
Sure. No, that's good advice.
With getting started, where do you turn? How do you get started with opening your business? Do you look to the internet? Are there local resources of people helping you with this?
that's been
looking for the positives.
Yeah. So, for those of you who are opening more orthodox businesses,
or conservative or reform.
Yeah. I guess the. The situation I ran into was that no one really knew what a brewery was here within our local government. So that was kind of the biggest hurdle, and it wasn't anyone's fault. It was just they hadn't been out drinking at microbreweries. It wasn't as popular of a thing here. So,
sure.
But basically, just kind of, I would say use your local government and just annoy them. And I don't mean that like rudely, but I mean like you do have to be persistent because they have a lot of things going on, and at least I'm assuming they do. and basically, you know, you need to keep your paper, your form, your variance, your site plan at the top of their pile,
right,
at all times, or else you're gonna get washed away, and you won't hear from them for months, and that's time you could be making money or getting closer to your goals. So.
Yeah, squeaky wheel always gets the job done.
Well, as a first timer, that's really important to understand.
Yeah.
Well, keep fighting for yourself, make sure it's going.
Normally, they're not, a lot of people are scared to, like, you know, offend people, but, like, really, most people that are really busy, like, don't have time to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're not really, like, judging you poorly. They're just kind of like, all right, like, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. Is this done yet? Can I go to the next step?
Yeah.
Keep it moving. Keep her moving.
Right. And then how do you feel about Dungeons & Dragons?
I aptly mentioned yesterday when you guys asked me to come here.
Wait, is that a craft beer?
It should be.
that should be the name of your first beer. Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough to have a very creative friend who decided to get into DMing or being a dungeon master. In that, you know, we're already a pretty nerdy group of friends, but he wanted to really, like, dial in and, like, go to the core of what...
How many people are playing with you?
There's about six of us, and there's a lot that want to get involved, but I think that having our, we'll call him, like, our virgin DM, right? Like, he's trying to pivot with the whole group of people, because it's part... role-playing and part improv, and then there's all this like number part of it, and then there's fantasy, and it's like you really have to make the people playing happy but also create boundaries.
Wow, that's cool.
So it's hard for him. Like, I feel bad for him. I just say stuff and he's like, roll a d20 20. And I'm like, okay, like, so.
Sure. All right. Cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.